Hi, everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome to The New Normal and the Working Woman. I am your host, Janice Sutherland, and if you're watching this on replay, thank you so much again for tuning in. Now, if we've never connected before, as I said, my name's Janice Sutherland, and I am an award-winning leadership development coach and expert based here in the Caribbean, and the host of the podcast This Woman Can, and author of the book This Woman Can, The No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. I help women and organisations, more importantly, just importantly, to develop the leadership skills to navigate with purpose and their step into their power and make their presence felt without compromising their authenticity, basically being the type of leader they would want to work for. Now, before we kick off, I'd like to introduce my guest this evening. My first guest here is Kevin Gordon. Kevin owns and operates Simply Secure Group, a cybersecurity group based in South Florida, providing comprehensive cybersecurity protection for the Caribbean companies with specific focus on SMEs. And he is in Florida right now. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Janice. How are you doing?
And fabulous.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. And my second guest is Joel Millington. He's a project manager with First Citizens Bank, Trinidad and Tobago. You won't be able to, you won't forget he's from Trinidad when you hear him, and where he manages a portfolio of strategic and operational projects across the group. He also operates a profitable tax preparation company called Simple Tax. Now, we're going to look at tonight's topic. Tonight's topic, let me just put that up. Tonight's topic is all about how to achieve gender parity in the home. And I chose that topic because with the onset of COVID, we know that families are struggling with unemployment, keeping small business afloat, and having to work in uncertainty. And what's more, many individuals are now discovering what it's like to spend so much of their time managing work, childcare, and a household. But for most women, this last challenge, as we found out last week, is nothing new. And despite the fact that women outnumber men in the paid workforce in most countries, women still do more of the domestic work and childcare. The pandemic has closed schools, it's upset childcare, it's exacerbated the stresses and strains for caregiving, homeschooling, domestic duties, and especially for dual earner mothers who were already doing more unpaid work. Now, from my conversation with the ladies last week, with Patrice and Julie last week, we discovered that most women do what most women do, and that's get on with it and roll with the punches. However, many men are now working from home, often for the first time, and getting that front row seat to the daily demands of running a home, caring for kids, as well as a crash course in learning how to balance work and family. And although many men have experienced role reversals or traditional role reversals for short stints, most have never worked from home for such an extended period while leaning in as a primary caregiver for children. And the presence of more men sharing more domestic duties has the potential to create a whole sea of change in gendered norms at home and at work, in that men are more likely to appreciate what happens when a woman works from home and the family experiences, understand the value of flexible work arrangements, appreciate the benefits of relationships with work colleagues, and role model for a more equitable family work gender roles for their children. Now, just to back that up, that's not just me talking about that. There's research on the subject that shows that equal partnership in the home accelerates gender equality at work in three ways. Women are more successful at work as they are less concerned with the impact on their job because, you know, they don't have to worry about the family responsibilities and they can focus and commit to their job. Fathers who are equal domestic partners have model a role equity for their children, so they shape the expectations of the future workforce. If they have daughters, they're more likely to pursue career aspirations, often less stereotypical occupations, and have better self-esteem and self-autonomy, whereas the sons have a more egalitarian perspective of women and men's roles at home and work. And lastly, and just as importantly, actually, Men who equally share unpaid work at home aren't afraid to ask and talk about why they need that flexibility in their work schedule. Because quite often when women ask for these things, it's often seen that it's solely the purview of the woman. And this can often create a stigma that deters men from using them. But if men are part of the experience, then they're more likely to support such policies. And then in the Caribbean, let me just touch on this in the Caribbean, because why I was probably a little bit touchy about this week. We had a very well-known, well, a pretty established blogger, Caribbean blogger here. And he wrote a great article, fantastic article, about how mompreneurs could streamline their work, use technology to get them on, you know, make life easier. And he did everything. He talked about great solutions for scheduling, and he gave lots of tips. But his last tip was to actually outsource your laundry. Mm-hmm. But the one thing he didn't talk about was how to get, if you have a partner in the home, how to get your partner to, come on, do a bit of the work that's there as well. So I guess my first question to my esteemed male panel this evening is, how has the division of work, childcare, homeschooling in your household altered since the impact of COVID?
Go ahead, Joel.
All right, so good night, everyone. So Janice, I want to take you up on something that you said in your intro there.
Yeah.
Where you were saying essentially men have not been accustomed being home, right? Mm-hmm. Or working from home. And it's interesting that you said that, because that to me was the first transition I had to make. Right. From when we got the directive from the office that, listen, and I work in a project management office, and majority, if not all of our tasks could be done from home. You could manage a project fully virtually, talking to stakeholders, whoever you need to speak to, right? So when we got the directive of, okay, for the first couple of weeks, you have to be home all the time working from home. And well, my wife was also the same. I was telling a friend, I think this is the first time in my whole life I've ever been in the house for that length of time, all the time. And initially, if I'm to be 100% honest, because my wife and I would not accustom being in that same space for all that time, there was some adjustments that had to take place.
Right.
Because again, we have in our home, we have one office, one room that we dedicate as the office. So you find that naturally, if one person go to work, or both of us in work, I may decide I want to use the office and she is sleeping and stuff like that. But now we have two desks in one space and two have meetings and stuff like that. So initially, to be quite fair, you had to purposely decide, okay, how is this going to work?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you find that the aggravation level of not being accustomed to this type of environment, it's easy to get annoyed, right? So that for me is the first point I'll make before I hand over to Kevin, is that you have to be conscious enough to know that this is not what we are accustomed to. Let's have a purposeful discussion to sort out how this is going to work so we won't aggravate each other.
Yes. What about you, Kevin?
Those are good points. You know, before COVID, for most persons who do not know, when I left my former employer to start this business, we, you know, had a fantastic 3,000 office with a desk seating of 33 persons, a fantastic stock operation with 9 screens and at least 9 to 10 desks there, and a boardroom. I mean, it was a mansion. And I thoroughly enjoyed the massive office, and then COVID happened, you know. And you know, fortunately for me, my girls were homeschooled, and we have been homeschooled for the better part of 5 years.
Right.
And so when COVID happened, there was really no change in their lifestyle and in my wife's work environment to some extent. But then COVID happened and we had to make a shift in our own operation, which means that I no longer could go back and forth to the office. I needed to find a place in my house for an office. And I tend to talk a little loud, I'll be honest with you. And so everybody hears me. My wife would say, Kevin, I can hear you downstairs. You're talking, the door is closed. You're shut away, but I can hear you. The girls are in a test and I can still hear you. You need to keep your voice on. So that was a bit of an adjustment for me because when I'm in my meetings, I close my door and I'm in a world by myself. No, I have to be conscious that my girls are home and not just home, but they are doing relevant work. And I have to be conscious about what I'm saying, who I'm talking to, and the volume that I'm speaking so that they can continue their operation. And so that was a bit of an adjustment. And then shortly after, when we started to expand our operation, I realized we needed to change the strategy. So I brought my wife in the business. So now she's heading my customer care division with that team, and she's working as well as taking care of, you know, looking after the homeschooling activities. And I'm here. So now we have four people in the one house working from home. So that is a significant challenge. But it's a challenge that if I'll be honest with you, I thoroughly enjoy. Because I love my girls. And every time, every day I spend with them gives me pleasure. I like, to be honest, I love when they open the door without asking any questions. You know, they may not hear me on the phone and they walk right in. And they look, Daddy, is Daddy in a meeting? Or it's not in a meeting. Hey, Daddy, what's happening now? And Joel, I think, and Eugene touched on a point. One of the things that I love, because I have three girls in the house, my wife and my two baby girls, who are 15 and 13. One of the things I love about the journey that I'm on now is that I am now able to teach my daughters independence. Mm. You're not dependent, not just on the education or the traditional systems, but you can be an entrepreneur. You can determine your own destiny. You don't need, pardon my expression, you don't need a man to get you to the place that you feel. I'll be honest. And that is what I'm teaching my daughters. Be independent. I want you to be a professor at 23 if you can be a professor at 23. My daughter now, every time I'm doing meetings, she's coming into my office and she's sitting beside me and she's listening in on the conversation. Yeah. She's taking notes. Today, I had an errand to run on the road. And you know who actually did 2 weeks of online media campaign with Hootsuite? My 13-year-old daughter. Thanks, Jenny, for that. My 13-year-old
daughter. Labor.
I know. But you see, what I love about it is that I'm able to teach my girls independence. And they don't see limitations in their future. They don't see limitations on how far they can grow and go because Daddy has not set that limitation on them.
Yeah.
And my wife, very same thing. You can be as big as you want to be. You can go as far as you want to go. If you want to take over the entire operation, my 13-year-old now tell me she wants to be a boss. I said, no, I don't want you to be a boss, baby. I want to be a leader.
Yeah.
Be a leader, not a boss. Right? A boss compels and drags. I want you to lead people. And for you to lead, you need to learn. So stay with Daddy and watch, and I'll take you along the journey.
That's great. Now, both of you had talked about doing your normal 9-to-5, say, job at work. One of the biggest issues for women, and even though as big a job I did, I still did the majority of this, the domestic chores, the domestic housework, that kind of stuff. And I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. So has that changed? Now, first of all, you're at home more. So have you seen how much work is involved in running the home and the homeschooling and, you know, and just generally keeping the house in order? How about you, Joel? Or did you know already?
Right. No. how to put that way, it's I don't want to say it's a generational thing, but from the onset, like when my wife and I was deciding to come and live in the same space, those were kind of discussions that we had up front. So there were certain things that she, off the bat, she was like, I hate to clean the toilet and the bathroom and stuff like that, so I'm not doing that, right? So you find that the way how our household is run, there are certain activities from the onset that I know she did not like to do, so I started to do it, obviously, right? So it has been 11 years since we have been married, and I am the one who does particular chores, and she's the one who does particular chores. So the transition that COVID would have presented is because you are in the house more, you have more chores to do. Because before, when the house came and everybody go on, my son in school, she in work, I in work, the house is there. So now it have more ways to wash. The place will get dirty or untidy a lot more. So it's just a matter of it is more to do, yeah. Right? So yeah. The other side of that is, I guess, knowing your partner or how your household is run. We tend not to stress too much about small things. Right, so me or my wife, we are not ones to complain every time you pass or you see a dirty ways in the sink. We know it has to get done, and before the end of the night, it will get done. But there's no complaining during the course of the day that, hey, look, the kitchen dirty. Because I think we have a fair understanding of everybody is trying to function in the professional capacity during the course of the day. And if we need to cook food quickly, we'll just whip up something quick because we are not picky eaters, or somebody will run out and just buy a meal quickly, something along those lines.
Right. About you, Kevin?
Listen, my mom grew me to wash my own clothes. Clean my own room. At 10, I was scrubbing in those little wash pans outside the back door. Yeah. And scrubbing the clothes. So I learned from early that, you know, you need to operate independently. But also what I'm trying to do is model a behavior for my daughters to see that there is no gender specific roles in their house.
Yeah.
So the man can wash the dishes, the man can clean the floors, the man can wash the clothes, although I hate washing, the man can do it as well. And if there needs to, if the wife or your partner leaves something on the ground, you should not, you know, you're not waiting for her to come and pick it up. And, oh, by the way, baby, you know, you left that there. No, you pick it up yourself and put it away. In the morning, I have a routine. Before I start working, of course, you know, going through my own devotions and ensuring that the day is set, clean the room. And if stuff needs to be moved, you move it. If the wife leaves anything at all in the room, you pick it up and you fix it so that the place is clean. There's a, you know, on our weekdays, now that I'm home, in the house that I was before, you sweep the floors, upstairs, downstairs, and you show the girls that, listen, there is no specific role that a woman needs to play in the house. As long as you are a man, as long as you're in the home, we share responsibility. But what we do also in our home, we try to ensure that the girls understand that you have responsibilities as well. Mom and dad has responsibilities. And we have, you know, separate functions, but we help and we ensure that the house is kept together. But your role is ensure that, one, I'm not touching your room, number one, so you need to clean your room. That is number one. But also, in addition to that, the dishes downstairs, we have schedules for them. So every day, one person takes the dish.
Yeah.
And they'll clean the entire, from top to bottom. And the next day, someone else takes it. So we put them on a schedule.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that because you're on a schedule that daddy cannot wash stuff as well. And, you know, sometimes I'll be there and my daughter says, but daddy, why are you washing up the spoon? Are you washing up this pot? Are you washing up Yeah, because I want something to use, and I don't think we should be pulling something out of the dishwasher, out of the tray to use it when stuff is in the sink. Let me wash it and use it now. Why not? And leave the stuff that is there clean. So I generally do not buy into this gender specific role. As long as you're in the house, each body, every person in that home has a responsibility to keep that house together.
Well, between you, Joel, and my husband, there must be the most three enlightened men I know right now. So, Kevin, you touched on how your relationship with your daughters have changed. Joel, I know you have children as well. Has there been a change in your engagement with the children since you've been home more?
Right. Again, that was a transition because I have one child, right?
Yeah.
And he's 7 going on 8. And again, by him being home all the time with us, obviously he will want to play, right? So now I have to be conscious of that also because he doesn't have a sibling, right? So yes, there are other children in the neighborhood, but everybody is COVID conscious.
Yes.
So you find that the kids are allowed to play, but not with the frequency or even the closeness that they used to play before. And then it's more in the evening time, 5 o'clock, stuff like that, is when you see the kids in the neighborhood will kind of come out. So during the course of the day, once he's on a break or online school finished early, he wants to play. So it's daddy, come and play this. Please, 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 daddy, come and play with me. So I have to be conscious that you don't just leave him or just, yes, he has tablet time, but you don't want him to just spend all his time in front of the tablet or the TV.
Yeah.
You want to kind of teach him to read a story and I mean, you need patience. You need patience for those type of activities. Even the online school, for my experience, is a little bit difficult because his age, even though the teacher is online and says, take your language arts book, turn to page 35, you have to kind of be watching him to ensure that he's on the right page, he's following. And stuff like that. So you cannot I can't just put him in a room. My wife go do it, I go do my work, and just leave him there because he wouldn't really pay attention as he should.
Yeah.
So the dynamic there requires much, much more engagement and tolerance It could really, again, the same point I'm making, you have to just be conscious that this is a change for everybody.
Yeah.
He's accustomed going to school, seeing his friends playing. Wife is accustomed to going to work, doing her thing. I am accustomed to being in my own space. And now we all in the same space trying to still maintain some semblance of what we are accustomed to. So each of us just have to be conscious of that change and that dynamic.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. So what has been the one thing you've probably, both of you, you've learned about yourself going through this whole process?
I've learned that for me, I'm not as patient as I thought I was. if I'll be honest with you. My girls, They are well behaved, and I think I have a fantastic wife, a beautiful home. But I tend to get a little impatient, and that came from, I think, a culture where you had to go fast.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. So I spent 28 years working in the corporate culture, corporate environment. Went to the senior level, as you would know, Jen. In that environment, everything moves at lightning speed. And so I got accustomed to making things happen really, really quickly. And I didn't learn how to slow down.
Yeah.
So when COVID happened and I came home, everything slowed down.
Yeah.
And now my daughters were in my face, and they wanted, just like you, Joel, they wanted my time.
Yeah.
And I had to slow down because I was still trying to go fast.
Yeah.
And I remember for my daughter's birthday, she said, Daddy, I want a birthday present. I said, what do you want? She said, she's between a skate. I like, a skate? She said, yeah, I always wanted to learn how to go to skate. Now, I know that mommy is not going to teach them skate. that's not mommy's thing, right? So that's my responsibility. I'm the one that teaches them to ride the bike and, you know, and to swim and all these other things. So I know if I'm going to buy the skate, I'm going to own the skate. And the responsibility to teach them, the teacher. And so I said to her, what do you really want? She said, to be honest, you know, I want to learn something new. I said, okay, buy the skate. Let's go online. And we found the skate that she loved. We bought it. It took about a month to get here because of some mix-up. But it got here eventually. And when he got there, the first thing he said to me, okay, now, Daddy, you got to teach me. No, this boy has never skated in years, so I'm going to teach my daughter how to. So I held on to her, and we walked out in the parking lot, and we round and round in the garage, because, you know, and the one time, man, she fall and hit her bum. I'm like, oh, God, I grabbed her, and I hugged her, and, you know, and it became such a fantastic bonding moment. I literally allowed everything to just fade away.
Wow.
And it was just that time with me and my baby girl.
Yeah.
And that I cherish the most. And it taught me how to be a lot more patient, to breathe.
Yes.
You know, when things are going a million miles per hour, you know you want to get a lot of things done, but take the time to enjoy your family. So now when she comes in the room and I say to her, Don't worry about stuff. Even if I'm in a meeting, interrupt Daddy. I prefer to stop the meeting and say, hold on, guys, my daughter wants to say something to me.
Mm.
Because at the end of the process, what matters is what I teach them.
Yeah.
Do they feel that Daddy always has time for them? And in doing so, when they grow up, you know, whoever they get married to, they have seen now an example in their father.
Yeah.
That he was able to take time away from, no matter how the schedule is, a busy one, just to engage him in a conversation. And so I've learned that for me, slow it down, be a little bit more patient. Things may not move as fast as you want them, but it's worth the journey.
Yeah. About you, Joel?
Yeah, for me, what I learned was, well, obviously, my wife and I are in totally different companies, so I've never seen her work.
Okay.
I've never seen her perform her job. Yes, you know the job she does, but yes, you know she's a change coordinator and she works out of the office of the president, blah, blah, blah. But I've never seen her work.
Right.
And I think the biggest takeaway for me was her job is important to her just as my job important to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. And the way how, when she is either in a meeting, hearing how she engages with her co-workers and her peers and even her superiors, or seeing her when she has to do a report, how she wants silence and she wants to focus, is like seeing that made me realize that. In the home, both of us have goals and ambitions for our jobs.
Right.
Yes.
So I can't feel my job is important to me and yours is not. So I need the time and I need to focus because you have things you would like to accomplish professionally.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of eye-opener to see her work rather than just know she goes to work.
Yeah. That's great. So do you think this whole COVID thing, Kevin, you touched on it about, you know, you have to have your children interrupt you. Joel, you've noticed that, you know, your wife's work is just important. Do you think COVID has changed people's attitudes from, you almost used to have the thing about work was work and home was home. Do you think it's changed that? Do you think it's changed that? And if so, how? Or should I say, will it stay? Do you think it will stay?
I don't think there is going to be a going back of to where we were. There, I believe we have to reopen the economy. There are some businesses that require a physical space. That person will have to go back. But a lot of companies, including ours, now recognize that the traditional, stereotypical environment of an office is no longer as relevant as we thought it was. If as business owners and CEOs and operators of our own companies, we were honest with ourselves, we would come to the same general conclusion. A lot of companies, Amazon has done it, Google has done it, Twitter has done it, Facebook sent home their staff. A lot of companies are now saying, you know, they're going to shut permanently their offices and they are no longer going back to that space. And we are now seeing, as a matter of fact, far more productivity from employees when they are working from home. Because, again, and that's it's a good thing and a bad thing. Because there is really no separation between work and home. So you are home, and as long as you're home and the computer is on and your phone is ringing, you're always going. So there's no shutting down, which is another conversation we probably should have. In that we need to come to that point, okay, work is work, but yes, at 5 o'clock I stop work. That kind of thing. And we shut down. So I have found in a lot of instances, for me and for my employees, they work a lot more when they are home. And I don't have to be, and I'm never one to be micromanaging and looking, you know, over your shoulder. You know, you, as long as you accomplish a task or an objective, I'm fine. So that environment, I think, has changed. And I don't think, you know, for the most part, we're going to go back to where we were before.
The only flip side, I'll say, excellent points, Kevin. The only thing I will add to that, on the other side of the coin, is I think we need some togetherness from a team dynamic standpoint, right? Because I have not seen members of my team. Yes, we see one another virtually like this, but to really be in the same space or to do a team activity, I think that human interaction is important. And it could get lost the further away we are from each other. So I agree with the points that you said, Kevin, but the other side of it is there is importance in terms of having a connection or feeling the vibe of your team, you know, to really build and feed that culture. And I think just having a virtual culture doesn't always cut it. So that's the other side of the coin from the points you made.
Right.
Part of me don't necessarily wish that it stays like this, even though there are benefits to the work from home. And we could incorporate not really being in the office 100% all the time, but there's still some value for me for being in the office and in the same space.
So let me just segue to that. We're coming up to, we're wrapping up, but let me just say such an important point, a couple of things there. So going back to the office, now you know what you know, and you've seen the benefits of working from home, even though there's been some frustrations. What would you want your employer or as a boss, what changes would you make to enable the positives of COVID to stay for the employees?
It's not a big deal if somebody says they want to work from home. I think before, the request to work from home would have a lot more scrutiny behind it. Like you have to have a serious reason why I need to work from home. For me now, the thinking is if the person wants to work from home, that policy could be relaxed.
Right.
Where you don't need a specific reason and it has to be an emergency and the sky is falling, that's why I have to work from home.
And what about you, Kevin, as the employee head on?
Right. So we have actually taken the shift to move most of our infrastructure to the cloud. Right. And that office has been scaled down to a smaller office. And now all of my staff work from home or work remotely. And it allows us now the ability to not just hire persons in one location, but you can hire persons in different geographical locations.
Right.
Of course, right. Just and to ensure the resilience of your operation. Something happens in Florida and I have somebody in Germany. Something happens in Germany, I have somebody in Trinidad, I have somebody in Barbados, in the Virgin Islands, and it goes on in Jamaica. It goes on and on and on. But also, one of the benefits I see with it, and I agree with you, Joel, with the camaraderie, that bit, that element there is missing. And it's something that I personally need to address once things settle, because no one is really traveling and coming together now as they were. But it's something that I want to pull together potentially at the end of the year or even in the start of next year once things settle. With everyone kind of coming together, we have a little picnic or a little, we call it love feast, or just get together, we go out and just enjoy each other and see each other's face. Hey, that's the person I've seen online for the last 5 months. Oh, it's real, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But beyond that, one of the benefits I see, you know, I had a conversation with one of my staff and at 12 o'clock they were exercising. They were running. You know, when they were at work, there was no opportunity for them to run.
Yes, yeah.
None at all, because they were glued in. And of course, they left at 5, but now they were able to take, you know, some flexible time. And again, I'm not going to be watching every employee and everything they do. I'm going to give you the latitude to do what you need to do, understanding that you have a responsibility to ensure that my customers are completely satisfied, that their environment is completely protected. And if you are going out for an hour, somebody else is covering you.
Fabulous.
At all times. So that is a benefit that I have transitioned the business and the employees in. But I do agree with you, Joel, that the camaraderie, that little element there, can be lost if we are not careful.
Take some working to do. So my final question to the panel this evening is, what advice would you give to other men who are listening, who find themselves struggling with adjusting to the children, the partner, the wife, the new working, having to slow down? What advice would you share?
All right, so I'll go first with this, right? I am a firm believer of having your own personal space or doing something that you enjoy. So, for example, I run, and I run with a club, right? Trinidad and Tobago Road Runners Club. And they are in Port of Spain. I live in Arima. So there's about a 45-minute journey to get to there. But on a Tuesday and Thursday, once I have the time, I still go and take the run with them. Right? We're in a smaller group. We have to run with masks and stuff like that. But because that was part of my routine when I go to work, I still want to maintain at least that part of my routine. I don't want to say, well, I'm working from home, Port of Spain so far, so I'm not going to run anymore. And then I'm just totally home and everything from my past existence just disappears. So I think because the running and the camaraderie of my running club does something beneficial to me and calms me and is something that I enjoy, my advice will be, even though you are making adjustments and you have to discuss the adjustments as anything else in a partnership, when any type of relationship, there must be some form of discussion as to how we are going to address this new thing that we are dealing with. But I will also add to that, don't give up or just pack away. Try to hold on to at least something that you enjoy that seems normal to you.
Thanks, Joel.
I'd say breathe. Breathe. Breathe.
You're breathing a lot, Kevin.
take a deep breath. It's going to come, especially if you have children and they are young children, and you have to now transition those children to, if you have never done homeschooling before, they are now homeschooling and the wife has a work and she's now working from home plus the homeschooling and you are home as well. You have a work. Breathe. That's the first thing you need to do.
Yeah.
Then discuss what is required to ensure that you can have a successful 8 hours work day. Have an honest, open conversation, not just with your partner, with your wife, but bring the children in as well, because it's important if they are at the age where they are able to understand the dynamics of the changing from the COVID pre-COVID to COVID. If they can understand that dynamic, then you need to have an open conversation. Bring them around the family table, around the family room, and have an open conversation. This is what daddy expects. This is what mommy expects. This is what I expect of you as a child, as my daughters, as my sons in this house. Here is my expectation. Have that conversation. Because what I find happening, and especially when we just started, I expected not to be interrupted when I'm in a meeting.
Oh,
I expected. Yes. No, I'm being open. I expected not for them to pull the door and run in at me. Hi, daddy. And have you seen that video with a man in the interview? Yeah. I think it was BBC. Yeah. And his daughter was running the door and the helper running like, oh, I'm sorry. I expected none of that, but it happened. It happened already. And my daughter came in. She didn't know that I was actually in a meeting, but she actually came in. So in the back of my mind, I expected it, but I never discussed it. Right. Now, I'm not saying that to be malicious or to be stringent or don't disrupt. No. But in my mind, I expected it. So I said, let's have a conversation. If you hear daddy in a meeting, you can come in, but come in quietly.
Right.
If it's urgent, you can interrupt daddy. And you're not going to penalize. You can interrupt daddy. But these are the expectations. When mommy's in a meeting, when mommy's having a conversation, let's be soft. And the same thing goes for me. Daddy, be quiet. Stop talking so loud. That kind of thing. So have that conversation. But men, breathe. And get involved as well. Again, don't leave your wife to do every single thing in the house. And especially now with COVID, they say a happy wife is a happy life. I want a happy home.
Mm-hmm.
I want a happy home. My daughters now say the same thing. Daddy, remember, you say a happy wife is a happy life. So we discuss all these things. And now they know. They are holding me accountable. They ensure that I keep my wife happy by ensuring that things are continuously being done. I'm not walking past stuff, and I'm not walking past a plate. I'm not walking past the hamper not carried upstairs. I'm not walking past. And if she wants to go on the road and I'm tired like yesterday, I said, Daddy, I'm just tired. I want to go on the road. I can't. She doesn't like to drive.
Yeah.
At all.
Right.
I don't have a problem, so I'll drive.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're really tired and you really don't want to do it. But it takes a sacrifice. So breathe, guys. And support each other.
Thank you. So from what I've heard you guys have said, it's about communication. Communication is key. It's about having a plan to work together to meet the needs of both individual and family, and having that own space. And if I could add just a few more things to that I would say is, if you're a man listening to this, do your fair share of the chores and childcare, and even have what we call a domestic performance audit. So check in that you're doing your fair share of the work. Take on the additional emotional labor of tracking, planning, organizing what the family needs, because believe it or not, having those mental lists in your head actually take a lot of time up from a woman. We're almost trying to juggle our own job, but also trying to think about what the family needs as well. And be purposeful in prioritizing work. Set boundaries. I think we touched on this before in the panel about separating home and work. Set those boundaries. Set yourself KPIs, if you use the corporate world, as to make sure you're delivering on your responsibilities, as you said. And support. I think, Joel, you touched on this about supporting your partner's career without reservation. I think it's great that you've seen, I think many men have probably seen that if their wife goes to work, we know you go to work, we know you have a title, we know you get paid, but I don't actually know what you do, So I think that was a great eye opener. And then both of you have said, touched on this, is about role modeling allyship for your children, so that you're openly communicating the family's career, the family and career goals, what's expected, that you can disagree and listen and stuff like that and make decisions, being authentic and leveraging your partnership. So basically, all in all, the current crisis has presented new experiences. I think we can all agree on that for everyone at home, at work, and even especially for both men and women. The silver lining, however, is that the men's experiences may be give us the ability we need to engage in gender equality and partnership in a way we've not seen before, we've not been able to do before. And that benefits of equal partnership at home may just be the catalyst. Not going to say it's the catalyst. It may be a little catalyst to help women seek that parity, the gender parity in work as well. So, gentlemen, I'd like to say thank you so much for joining me this evening. It was a lively discussion. Thank you for your participation. And that's it for this week. Join me next week for another edition of The New Normal and the Working Woman. I have a title I'm working on right now, but I'll reveal that shortly. So until next time, take care. Thanks, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you.
No problem.